there. Welcome to ATL in 29, the podcast that looks at the NBA from the starting point of Atlanta. My name is Kevin Chouinard, and I'm here with Tyler Jones to talk about the undefeated in the preseason 1-0 Atlanta Hawks. Tyler, what were some of your big takeaways from what you saw last night?
My biggest takeaway is that McCamish Pavilion is in a terrible location. There is no parking anywhere close to that arena. And I feel bad that, you know, because there's some guy on Reddit post who basically bought tickets, but he just had an issue and he basically missed the game due to not being able to find parking. And like, yeah, that can happen just because, you know, Atlanta isn't the most organized city, so it's kind of hard to get your bearings, especially if you're not from here. So that sucks for that fan, since, you know, you pay for a preseason game ticket. Like, you know, it's, you know, these games, you know, they don't matter in the sense for fans. I mean, they matter for the player, but like for the fan, you know, especially a diehard fan, if you're gonna buy a ticket, you should be able to get to the game. And because I was experiencing a bad parking incident myself, so I had empathy for the guy. But you know, hopefully, you know, State Farm Arena or whatever can get done. But you know, everything's good to go on October 17th. But yeah, if you're trying to get to the game, just, you know, have a plan on where you want to park. That'll probably help you out, because I certainly did not pay way too much money at the end of the night. But it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I think there's only one more against the Spurs, and the other three are on the road. I don't like going. I can't even imagine, like, what would happen if construction gets delayed and games at the beginning of the season that were supposed to get played at State Farm Arena can't proceed. You know, I'm not saying that this is a thing that's actually going to happen, but, I mean,
in some context,
it's cutting it close.
Yeah, because, like, the other thing is, like, a big thing is that Georgia Tech is going through construction as well at the same time, so certain walkways were cut off that I didn't know about.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yesterday getting to the arena was a mess. I'm like, I literally work – I'm less than a mile away from this place where I work, and it's like, I don't know. I messed up. Next time, I'm just gonna Uber for my job and go on from there. But you know, outside of that, the game was fun.
Yeah.
That was you know, Lloyd Pierce said they didn't play fast enough. I don't know. I was like, that first half was exhausting. I was getting tired. But because it was like, man, they're not, like, is either team going to, like, walk the ball up the court and catch a breath, or no, we're just going to keep going? But no, it was a fun game, especially for a preseason game. I think, in general, like, a lot of teams, these first couple games are playing, you know, up to, you know, what you expect from a regular season game. So, you know, I think that's a benefit. So, you know, you can glean. I feel like you can glean a bit more than what you used to be able to glean in previous years. I don't know why. I think there's just a lot of new turnover. Players want to show what they worked on over the summer. Guys are in better shape. So, I don't know. The Hawks looked like a quality squad out there especially during that first half, you know, going toe-to-toe with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. So it was fun to watch. And, you know, hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, it's funny you think about, like, who has an advantage in those situations where it's, you know, it's a new coach. So any of the players that were on the roster last season don't have that veteran's advantage of knowing the system ahead of time. So,
yep.
Like, a player like Kent Bazemore doesn't really have the advantage that he would normally have. I mean, he's been a Hawk. He's the longest tenured Hawk, but he didn't go to summer league, and, you know, he hasn't been with this coach before. So, it's kind of a new thing for him. Whereas, you know, some of the rookies, they're coming in cold too. At least they had a summer league, but, you know, they don't really know the NBA, so they're at a disadvantage. And, you know, a guy who's kind of in the sweet spot, and Lloyd Pierce said as much last night, is DeAndre Bembry.
Dre's the one guy, and I say the one guy. He's the one guy I know for sure can get in the paint. And he doesn't need a pick and roll. He doesn't need anything, but he needs the basketball. And so, you know, why waste the talent? Why waste the skill set? We got to find ways to get him the basketball because he can get in the paint, not only in finish, but he understands our offense just as well as anyone. He's been around us since I've taken the job. He's been here from day one. He just hasn't been able to play. But he understands the offense. He understands what we're looking for. And he has the skill set to get into the paint.
You know, he has a few seasons in the NBA, but, you know, he went to summer league as a third-year player, didn't get to play because he was hurt, but he was there soaking it all in, getting used to the plays, getting used to the coach, getting used to his teammates. And then, he had the camp of this past week to get ready. So he had maybe as good a preparation as anybody this summer, and it showed last night.
I mean, yeah. I guess when you talk about Bembry and, to an extent, Lloyd Pierce, I don't think they ran that many plays in so much as they had like sets that they, you know, that they repeated. So it wasn't like, to me, what the Hawks were doing wasn't that much of a deviation of what they were doing on Mike Budenholzer. Except, you know, as I noted last night, was that I think the biggest deviation was, you know, getting John Collins going with post ups on smaller defenders. That was in stark contrast to what they were doing last season, where, you know, John was just exclusively rolling to the rim. But, you know, if we're going to analyze the game for a bit, that I think that first half was pretty telling on how the Hawks are going to attack switches, is that you're just going to punish the mismatch wherever it is. And, you know, John Collins against a guard is that's a layup. And so, like, that really, like, I felt like, to me, that I felt like that basically opened up the dive game that was, outstanding all throughout with, John Collins just causing havoc in general. He had a hell of a game. But, you know, to me, I think with Bembry, he felt like he looked healthy. He's had flashes like this. I felt like he was pretty good in the preseason last season too, before, you know, he hurt his hand the first game of the season where he looked good, that Dallas game.
Right.
So, you know, Bembry has had stretches where he showed off his athleticism, his handle, and everything's clicking for him. I think one thing that I really liked was that, to me, it felt like Bembry was always on the floor with four of the shooters. Or, you know, it just felt that way. Maybe because he's playing alongside Trae Young now.
Yeah.
It's just such
a, I don't think that was entirely the case, though, because he was out. Wasn't he out there for some of the, what were the lineups at the end? It was like Thomas Robinson, Miles Plumlee.
Yeah, but you
that
know,
was late.
That point,
but
just,
yeah.
Yeah. That, at that point, he's just dominating, you know, guys. You know, for his pedigree as a basketball player, he should dominate. So that wasn't,
sure,
that wasn't too surprising, but he was doing more or less the same stuff, you know, during the first half and into the third quarter, where, like, to me, he was just really taking advantage of the Pelicans' lack of wing. They just, you know, they only really have Solomon Hill as a wing-size type defender, and Bembry really benefited from going up against guys just smaller than him, and taking advantage of the mismatches that were presented to him.
Right. So, I mean, if you look at what might be the Hawks bench lineup this season, you know, assuming that they don't stagger things, when they went to an all bench lineup last night, it was Jeremy Lin, DeAndre Bembry, Kevin Huerter, Vince Carter, and, you know, Miles Plumlee at times, sometimes Alex Poitras. But, you know, in the regular season, if Bembry gets healthy, I'm sorry, if Dedmon gets healthy, that could be Alex Len as the center, and he's, you know, testing out a jump shot too.
Yeah, it could be that, or, you know, depending on the matchup, you can also see scenarios where Poitras is playing the five.
Mm-hmm.
If a team is going small, like,
yep.
I guess if we can structure this, I think in general, I really like what Lloyd Pierce was doing out there on both ends of the floor. I think he really likes versatile, flexible players. And like their defensive scheme was versatile. Cause it, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but they were switching a lot.
Right.
You know, and it didn't match. Trae Young was switching too. So like, I felt like, you know, maybe at the beginning of the game, they were giving up some transition buckets because Trae Young was worried about trying to get back to who he was supposed to be guarding and whatnot. And like,
after I thought a while, it was just the opposite. Because there was a play last night where, you know, he was the guard, so he was the one guy that was back, had to just pick up whoever he could get and, you know, stop a layup in transition. And so he picked up a big, and the play kind of died, and it was about to turn into a half-court play instead of transition. And, you know, whoever it was that was guarding the big was basically ready to switch back and, you know, trying to get Trey's attention and basically say, okay, you know, here, you're going to get this guard back, and I'm going to take this big. And yeah, Trae Young didn't see it.
After a while, like, they just stopped, and they just like, all right, whoever's closest, because they're all like-sized guys, just pick up whoever's closest, and we'll worry about switching back if we need to later. And I think that's what they really benefited from, again, simplifying what they were trying to do defensively and just, you know, switching these high screen and rolls because, you know, you can switch if the guy you're switching on is Solomon Hill. He's not going to hurt you, right? So,
right.
Like, they kind of understood what the Pelicans were trying to do, which was just get easy looks. And, you know, they just counteracted it by, you know, just being flexible, being smart, and be like, hey, all right, we're in a mismatch right now, but if the ball swings to the other side of the floor, they really can't punish us that way. So it was, you know, in general, I just felt like it was up more up to the players on what to do. You know, I don't have any access to what Pierce was telling them what to do, but I feel like they kind of relaxed on who was supposed to have who once, you know, they're getting back in transition. And, you know, they overall, I feel like they played some pretty good defense throughout the night, especially considering the pace of the game.
Right. So I don't think we've talked specifically about Trae Young yet. What did you think about him in his first preseason game?
I thought he was great. He was, you know, I don't understand people getting caught up in the shooting percentages. Like, I care about the quality of the looks he was getting in. For outside of one, like, most
one
of the
two,
threes
yeah.
he took were open. Yeah, yeah, most of the threes were just open catch and shoots that he missed. I think he only took two pull-up threes, but, hey, those are his shots. Like, he's going to shoot those. But, you know, he only went 1-for-6 like that. That's just his game, and he's gonna struggle finishing at the rim. Like, it's not that big of a deal, especially when you're just opening up the game for everybody else with your passing. Like a lot of those John Collins early post ups were primarily due to Trae Young just passing the ball up the floor and just making the game easier. It was a lot of, hey, I'm gonna drag these two defenders out. And then I'm just going to make the simple pass, like the simple pass to Kent Bazemore for the open three or the simple pass to somebody like Alex Len in the corner. Just making the simple play. He was not forcing. He wasn't forcing anything. He just wasn't forcing it. And he was just playing his game, playing under control. And maybe he was getting a little bit frustrated based on, you know, based on just because I felt like he was sometimes getting in his own head shooting the ball, but as a distributor, he was outstanding. Like, I got no complaints. Some of the passes he threw were. you cannot teach some of those throws, like those passes. That's just innate basketball talent. Something that he has that, like, is really going to play up on, specifically on this team, because he has some really good finishers, not just John, but, you know, guys who are great catch and shoot shooters like Torian Prince and, you know, to a lesser extent, Kent Bazemore. Like, I think, you know, I think for him, like, to me, it was a great debut in the sense that, I mean, he looked like a pro. And, you know, to be that under control at 20, you know, we got to wait till you know, the regular season to have a really – to see if this is true or not. But I don't know. I felt like the Pelicans were trying to get into him. You know, they were trapping him up high on the key. They weren't going to allow him to get to his spots on the three – you know, get to his spots shooting. So they were trying to take stuff away from him. But in return, he was just making the right read. So it was good to see.
Do you think he'll have success when a team takes a different defensive approach and isn't trying to, you know, gum it up for him and trap and hedge and that sort of stuff?
Well, I mean, it's fun. Like, the Pelicans weren't just doing one thing. Like, sometimes they trapped, sometimes they switched. He didn't see everything, but he saw a healthy bit of what a defense can try to do to, you know, take you out of your comfort zone. But, you know, he handled it by just, like, to me, I felt like he handled it by relying on his teammates. Like, okay, I can, you know, I can't control when I'm going to get an open look at this moment, but I can control my decision making with the ball in my hand. So he was just being a great playmaker. And I think a big thing was that the Pelicans probably wanted to switch everything early. But, you know, when John Collins was getting, four layups at the rim just to start the game on simple switch post-ups, to me, that's going to be a real weapon this season, especially with John playing the four and, you know, teams having more switch-heavy schemes. Like, I think, you know, if teams can't switch these Trae Young pick and rolls, and that's just going to open up the dive game, which, you know, the Hawks did to great effect last night.
Yeah, and he wasn't just, you know, throwing lob passes over, you know, a bunch of schleps. You know, Chet Diallo and Anthony Davis have some serious wingspan and defensive instincts, and those were some high-level passes, some of those lobs, but.
I mean, he threw an alley oop off the backboard, like nobody.
That wasn't a shot, was it?
No, that was a designed play. You can Chris, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, from The Athletic. He actually wrote about that in the piece, and John Collins kind of joked that, hey, you're giving away our secrets, but no, that's something they worked on. That's just brilliant playmaking right there. Like, hey, you know, John's going to have the advantage on the glass. Why don't I just throw it up there? So, you know, that's just and then his wrap around a Poitras for an easy dunk. Like, that's, man, you just can't teach stuff like that. That's stuff that you can only do when you're just supremely confident in your skills as a basketball player.
I think it helps that the Hawks have a critical mass of good passers in their rotation, at least the way it was assembled last night. There really aren't too many bad passers, especially, you know, if you look at the guys who came in the fourth quarter when it was all said and done. But the guys that were playing in the first three quarters, there really weren't a whole lot of bad passers in the lot. You know, Vince is a good passer for a power forward, and Jeremy Lin's a good passer. Kent Bazemore's a good passer, although he seemed like he had a little bit of hiccups last night on a couple of I don't know if it was the pace of the game or what, just getting used to things. But some of the outlet passes and the pass ahead passes, you know, they really had good ball movement in those situations.
They were making quick decisions. Even, you know, Torian didn't nod any assists, but even Torian, like, you know, I felt like they were all committed to running Lloyd's offense. And it was good to see. It was good to see. So that's when I go back to, like, you know, it's not that dissimilar what, you know, Bud was doing in Atlanta. You know, right. Guys sharing the ball, moving, cutting.
Right.
You know, just, I mean, it's fun brand of basketball to watch, especially, you know, when guys are working in concert with each other. So, like, it's, I mean, it's encouraging. But, again, it's just one preseason game. So, you know, at the end of the day, we can only take so much, but just like the process of what the Hawks were doing all night on both ends was really encouraging to me.
Vince, as a power forward, that's the right position for him?
Absolutely. It's probably the only position he can play. You know, that's who I thought. I mean, that's what I thought the Hawks were doing when they signed Vince to be the backup four. And, you know, he looked really good doing it. You know, he even guarded Anthony Davis a couple times, defending him well in the post.
Right.
He's a good basketball player. You know, it just depends on if his body can hold up. You know, like to me, he's probably not going to – I think I said this before, but he's probably not going to play every day, you know, or every game. Like he's going to have, you know, rest days just to – keep him healthy during the season. Just, you know, got to account for his age. But, I mean, he looked good, looked spry. Hopefully he's here for the whole season because, you know, I imagine Vince is going to be a fan favorite this year. Everybody loves Vince Carter. And, you know, this being his last season, it would be great if he ended it with the Hawks. You know, he looked really good out there. Hopefully Justin Anderson can get out there too, so you know he can have some competition for that backup 4 minutes.
What about Amari Spellman?
I mean, we gotta see. You know, You know, his summer league. I would argue he's just not there yet just not there yet where you need to be, you know, defensively. And then, you know, he's just got some stuff he has to work on. And maybe in the G League, probably in a, you know, healthier environment for him where he's not being, challenged on a nightly basis where he can really work on his fundamentals. But you know, especially with this early part of the season, you know, you want to play play to win early. There's no reason. Like, Amari Spellman is going to get his time, you know, later in the season. But there's, like, to me, with him, there's no need to rush him. He's got some work to do based on summer league. But, you know, he can come out here and, you know, steal some minutes for somebody, depending on how he plays. But it's just a wait and see with him.
Okay. What about Alex Len? Is he going to be this year's Dwayne Dedman, firing off threes at a successful clip? What do you think about his form and on the shots that he took? Does he look like a passable 3-point shooter?
Yeah, it looked good to me. He shoots them with confidence. I think that's, you know, to me, shooting the ball with confidence is probably 3/4 of the battle. Because, you know, you just got to give defense something to think about. Like, man, if the shot looks good going up off your hands, then, you know, naturally guys might close out just even a little bit harder, whether you make it or miss it. And so, you know, he's not going to shoot like 8 threes a game or anything like that. But,
no,
you know, it's good. It's good for spacing purposes with just him in the corner. Like, you know, if he shoots like 36-37% from the corner, that's good enough. You know, that's going to force the big to, you know, have to park his butt, you know, away from the rim, and that just opens up the floor for everybody else. So, but honestly, to me, Alex Lynn, like, anything he has offensively is a plus. Like, his defense is going to be huge. I mean, you know, he's a very large human being, and it showed last night where, you know, the paint was kind of his territory. It didn't matter who he was going up against. Like, just can't get an easy look going against him, just with his size and his strength. And he grabs every defensive rebound. And to me, that's really all they need him to do so that they can start up the fast breaks by getting stops on defense and then offensive, and then turning those into transition points on offense. So he looked really good. I was impressed with, you know, everything about his game. You know, glad the Hawks took a flyer on him for, you know, like, two seasons before he hits his prime. So hopefully he can hit those corner threes just to add even more value. But, like, to me, most of his value is on the defensive end.
Right. You know, one of the things Lloyd Pierce was talking about is that, you know, there was a difference in their approach to offense in the first 8 to 10 seconds of the shot clock versus the next 8 to 10 seconds. And so, you know, that's a shot that they can live with in the second half of the shot clock. It might not be the one they want in the first half, but, you know, if you get the ball in that situation, there's not a lot of time in those. There's not a lot of time and not a lot of opportunity to get a better shot. So you know, better be ready to shoot it. And, you know, you say that he's, you know, anything that he brings on offense is a plus, but they're counting on his offense on offense because his offense is making space for people by setting picks.
Yes, you know, that's true. But I mean, in the traditional sense, you know, scoring, sure, and all that good stuff. Like, he's probably not going to have the numbers, at least on a per game basis, just based on how this team is set up.
Sure.
But, you know, he can still make a positive impact. I still feel like his defense is just going to make a positive impact. And then, you know, like you said, the screens he sets is just going to, you know, create additional benefit.
Yeah, and it's, like, not always, like, pick and roll, but a lot of what they do is a lot of, you know, dribble handoff stuff,
mm-hmm,
up at the top. And so they'll have two smalls up on top doing dribble handoffs back and forth, you know, a quick pass from one to the other into a dribble handoff. And then they're often, you know, they're off with their first step and a little bit of a head start. And that's when the bigs coming off the corner, they're usually around the elbow, and just kind of, you know, take one step up and hit them with a back screen. And that's their functional pick and roll at that point. It's not, you know, a traditional, okay, space everything out and here are these two guys and they're going to do this dance. It's really a lot of it coming off, you know, a quick tempo dribble handoff, you know, with that big coming up off the elbow and just kind of almost like a crackback block, just trying to pick them off that way.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it just adds, like, those initial handoffs with the you know, whether they're guards or wings, like, it just adds more movement to the offense, like, and it gets them going in a direction. So yep, it gets them additional momentum, and then, you know, you got somebody as big as Alex Lynn just standing there. Guy runs into him, like, they're just not going to get through him. So, yeah, like, I mean, that goes back to the reason, like, you have to, like, if you're a Hawks fan, you're concerned about Lloyd Pierce as a coach, like, I wouldn't be, you know, just based on the principles that they're doing out there on the floor, like, that's what you want your team doing. Like, you want your team moving the ball, looking for the best shot, not the first shot, and, you know, playing with real tempo. Like, if they play like this in the regular season, they're gonna get some easy looks in transition, like they did tonight with John Collins. And, you know, it's a fun brand of basketball, so it was great to see. I would like to say before we go talk about one guy, I was really impressed. Well, I was impressed with Kevin Herter,
right?
And Alex, I was impressed with Herter's athleticism and his feel for the game. He just, like, he just has a feel for the game. I wish he was a bit bigger because, like, if he was just 10 pounds heavier, like, he could probably finish better in traffic because he was struggling. But he was able to get to the rim. He was able to get to his spots. And, like, he's super athletic. Like, it's surprising in the sense that, you know, he's frail, but, like, it belies his athleticism. Like, he's got quick jump ability, fairly quick, even with the ball in his hands. And he's pretty long for his position. So, like, he's got some real upside. Like, he's got a chance, but, you know, he's just got to work on his body and work on it. Some other stuff, but and then Poitras, like, you just have to be impressed with his versatility because he was playing, you know, center and power forward and, like, making hustle plays, just, you know, being a presence on the floor. Like, it was hard to miss him. And so, like, to me, if he can play the five, like, that just adds another piece that the Hawks have not had, just a small ball, like a true small ball center who can hold up against the bigger centers in the league. And then at the same time, you know, post stay at the 3-point line and shoot open 3-pointers. Like, that's just another added benefit, you know, and it allows the Hawks to, you know, do more, you know, switch more and just, you know, in general, just be harder to deal with overall as a team, because you just can't, like, it just gives them another option if like a certain guy isn't matching up well with another guy. You can put, you know, Perthris is just another piece on the chessboard to me. So it was good to see from him. Hopefully, like, to me, I don't think he's going to be on a two-way for long, because, like, I mean, he's just he's good enough to be in the NBA, and I think he's good enough to be in the Hawks rotation.
Okay. Yeah, going back to Herter, I've got to say, you know, the combination of the venue and trying to get as much visual material as I could get up on the web for people that weren't able to stream it, mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I focused in enough to get a beat on him. I was getting feel for other players. I don't know. I'm going to have to pay more attention to him in future games. Well, one thing that I did like, as I was looking at some still pictures after the game from the game, not pictures that I took, but just, you know, the general photo pool pictures. And they, you know, they had a picture of him with the ball and he was driving. And, you know, he looked like a guard on the pick and roll. Like, he had that torqued body where, you know, he wasn't dribbling upright. He was dribbling, you know, turning a corner, and his body was turning into the corner, you know, where he was almost like at a 45-degree angle because he was coming around that curve. And I was impressed. He looked like a natural in that pose. And, you know, not a lot of guys do. I mean, there are some other pictures. I was like, oh, yeah, let me see what some other players look like when they're doing the same sort of thing. And, they, you know, they're kind of blocky and upright. And, you know, he wasn't, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's smooth. That goes back. Yeah, he's smooth with the ball in his hands. That goes back to my, like if he were bigger, like, he could legitimately cause some real havoc because he was getting to the rim. Like, teams were, like, the guys couldn't stay in front of him. And, like, he's just another, you know, he's another piece. You know, I think he only made a layup, but he was getting great looks all night. He just wasn't finishing or making his jumpers, but he looked good out there. It was, you know, really impressive. So he might have a sneaky, you know, good rookie season, depending if he can make the rotation. I think it is telling that he got in before Dorsey did. So I think that's kind of an indicator of who's going to get those back up two guard minutes, because it looks like Lloyd well, based on this game, considering that, like, to me, considering that the Pelicans play three, like, they are a guard heavy team. They play three guards basically with every lineup just because they don't have any wings. That it was pretty telling that Jeremy Lin and Trae Young never shared the floor.
Right.
So that just opens up playing time for Herter if he can take it. And, you know, if he plays with that level of confidence with the ball in his hands and he's a great shooter, like, he's going to be on the floor and be a positive player.
Okay. So when you say backup 1, 2, 3, I mean, I know a lot of it's been, a lot of our focus has been sort of Bembry or Dorsey, that kind of thing. But, like, let's say that it's Lin, Bembry, and Herter. And you start saying 1, 2, 3, you know, how would you make them match up with your tip? You know, if they're guarding players 1, 2, and 3 defensively, who's usually going to be guarding the 1? Who would you put guarding the 2? Who would you put guarding the 3? Do you put Bembry on the 1, Lin on the 2, and Herter on the 3, or something else?
I mean, ideally, you probably want Bembry on the best, you know, on the team's best offensive player, but. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning where, you know, at some point you just gotta match up with whoever is easiest. If they're going to play this fast, there's just not going to be enough time
right.
to really, do cross-matchup, like, because they're just going to cross themselves up. So, like, if they're going to play at this type of pace, which I think they will, like, it's really just going to come down to who is where on the floor at what time and then, you know, hopefully they can switch to the best, to the ideal, you know, to the ideal matchup. But, you know, the good thing about those three guys is that they're similar sized. Bembry's a little thicker. You even saw Bembry, you know, guard Julius Randle a couple of times in the post. I think he, you know, he showed out pretty well doing that.
I agree. You know, that was like a big attention getter for me. I was like, he's feeling himself if he's going to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, just, you know, it just adds to the overall versatility of the team. Like, hey, Bembry can play some small ball 4 too, so you can have some fun little lineup doing all that. But I don't really have I kind of dodged the question a bit just because, like, to me, it doesn't seem like in general, it doesn't seem like the Hawks are going to be that matchup. You know, depending, they're just going to guard whoever, based on simplicity. To me, I think that's probably the best approach.
Okay. And so last question I have for you is, you know, any surprises in how this 15-man roster shakes out?
I don't think there's going to be too much surprises. Maybe
is it the 15 guaranteed contracts, or do you think they do something different?
Can see the only thing I can see is that Thomas Robinson sneaks his way onto the team. But I can't say who would get cut or waived. So, like, that's probably the only thing there. But I think, you know, they'll use all, like, Alex Protheris is just going to, like, earn a spot in the rotation, or, like, he'll just be such a useful piece that they're just going to use all 45 of his days, and they might go in another direction with somebody else, whether it be Daniel Hamilton, Tyler Dorsey, or, you know, somebody on a lower end contract, like that.
All right, sir. You going to be watching Friday?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Are you a Memphis person? Do you used to live in Memphis? Do you root for Memphis? Are you secretly a Memphis fan?
No. they play back when I did watch, they were a fun playoff team back when they were good, but they're not good anymore, and they're so dependent on Mike Conley that I don't know. I kind of wish they hit the rebuild button, but Justin Jackson is fun. So, or Jaren Jackson, he's pretty fun. So, you know, hopefully we get to see some good play from him on Friday.
Yeah, but maybe not 8 threes.
I wouldn't mind that. You know, I root for,
oh, you are, you know, a Memphis fan. Wow. Okay.
No, I root for these young dudes to do well, like, in general. Like, it's just, it's good to see young players come in the league and, you know, show out early. Like, that's just makes the, it makes the NBA better. And it's preseason, so I don't really, you know, the results don't, like, I don't really care if they win or lose. I personally care if they play the right way or not. So
game, you know, one was a success.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they, you know, everything, it felt like they did what Lloyd Pierce had designed them to do. And if that's the case, like, that's a good game plan to me. So we'll see if they can continue it on Friday. You know, I think it's on NBA TV, so everybody should be able to. Well,
Fox Sports Southeast. But Fox Sports Southeast.
Yeah. Oh, it's on.
They pay me money, so I can't let you.
So it's on there too.
No. It's only on there. It's not. I don't think it's on NBA TV. Maybe I'm wrong.
I gotta check my.
I think it's NBA.com Fox Sports Southeast. App. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.